G20 ends with a whimper, and Ireland's debt problems hit markets with a bang.
Marketplace Morning Report is produced in association with the University of Southern California.
From American Public Media in New York, good morning. I'm Jeremy Hobson with The Morning Open, a look at business and the economy as Wall Street starts its trading day. In a moment, we'll take a closer look at the debt problems in Ireland that are causing a lot of investors to wonder if we've got another Greece on our hands. But first, where's Wall Street? Markets are down at this hour. The Dow is down 33 points at 11,249. The Nasdaq down about a third of a percent, and the S&P 500 down about a half percent. JCPenney said this morning that some big discounts boosted profits in the latest quarter. Meanwhile, the owner of Wendy's reported a loss for the quarter because of higher food prices. Now to Chris Lowe. He's chief economist at FTN Financial here in New York. He joins us live. Good morning.
Good morning.
So, Chris, first to the G20 meeting that just wrapped up in South Korea, it seemed to end with a whimper, no requirement for countries to limit their trade imbalances, which a lot of U.S. officials had wanted. Did we get anything out of this meeting?
You know, I think we did, actually. Yeah, we didn't come out with a document, certainly, which would have been nice. But considering the level of animosity toward the U.S. going into the meeting, the fact that the president was able to shift the conversation, and they are now talking about at least focusing on those trade imbalances, I think it's a step in the right direction we can build on in the future.
A step in the right direction. And now here about a step in the wrong direction. All those world leaders in South Korea ended up focusing on Ireland and its debt problems. Do you think that this situation has the potential to become another Greece and really wreak havoc on the global economy?
Well, if what you mean is a country in need of a bailout to save its sovereign bond system, then yes, we're already there. I'm afraid the EU is very likely going to announce a deal in the next day or two. But at least we differ from Greece in the sense that the people have accepted the deal. They've adopted a more frugal budget, for example, and they're already making good progress in reducing spending. All that means that it's likely to work in Ireland, whereas in Greece it's still questionable whether even with the bailout they can prevent bankruptcy.
Okay, Chris Lowe, chief economist at FTN Financial, thanks so much.
You're welcome. Thank you.
Well, today the Federal Reserve begins its latest round of buying up Treasury bonds. Over the coming months, the Fed will buy $600 billion worth of U.S. and corporate debt. So, what does this mean in practical terms for the average American consumer? Marketplace's Jeff Tyler has the answers.
The Federal Reserve's move has its pros and cons. Interest rates are expected to fall as the Fed snaps up long-term bonds. That's good if you're hunting for a house. David Weiss is chief economist at Standard & Poor's.
You're looking at 4.25% mortgages right now if you do some shopping. I've never seen them like that. Mortgages could get even a little bit cheaper than they already are.
He says other investors will see a downside.
The people who are getting hurt by this are retirees, basically, who are trying to live off their capital. They're just not earning much in interest right now. You just can't put that money into a CD and get enough to live on anymore.
The Fed's action will likely reduce the value of the dollar. Weiss says that will bump up the cost of imported goods and travel abroad.
It's going to cost you more for that hotel in Paris, and that three-star restaurant may be out of your price range now.
But the cheaper dollar may boost exports, and the Fed hopes that will spur the creation of new jobs. I'm Jeff Tyler for Marketplace.
Marketplace Morning Report is supported by Microsoft, providing comprehensive business solutions for the cloud. You can learn more at Microsoft.com/cloud. By The Economist, covering news and ideas from around the world and the connections between them. The Economist, on newsstands, in bookstores, and at The Economist online. And by LendingTree, providing up to 4 loan offers from a network of lenders. Learn more at LendingTree.com or 800-555-TREE.
Start spreading the news.
This is a Manhattan-bound S-Train.
We're going to be broadcasting from New York instead of L.A. for the next few months, and we're starting things off this week with some conversations with the people who make the economy here in the Big Apple what it is. Today, we're joined by fashion icon Cynthia Rowley. Welcome to Marketplace.
Thanks for having me. Welcome to New York.
How has fashion felt the recession and the recovery, do you think? Can you see it in what people wear, whether we're in a recession or not?
Oh, you know, there's all those old sayings, you know, the skirt lengths and all that. But now I think there's so many options that I don't think we can pinpoint any of those benchmarks like that anymore.
Have you done anything differently in the last couple of years?
The way I approach fashion is that it's balancing things that are more artistic and therefore maybe a little bit more expensive with things that I think are mainstream staples.
I've heard that trends can start in New York, that people start walking down the street with an ensemble that's different, then somebody else sees it, copies it, then next thing you know, it's in Vogue or a big fashion magazine or it's on the runway. Is that true?
There are a lot of trends that start in New York just because there's so much going on here, you know? It's the center for filmmakers, for contemporary art, and so you find individuals and be inspired by that.
Okay, we're going to do a quick lightning round here.
Oh,
quick questions,
God.
Quick
okay.
Answers. Here we go. Okay. Is New York the global capital of fashion?
Yes.
What's its main competitor in the United States?
I think there is no competition.
Not LA or San Francisco?
Definitely not. Sorry, guys.
What were your kids for Halloween?
Last year, my daughter was a polar bear. And then this year, you know, I could just change the hat and she's a white kitten. So
that's an economical way to do
it. Yeah, it's
Halloween.
A great way to do it. And the other one's a kangaroo.
Let me ask you one other thing. We are starting our show now in New York City for the next few months. What is the one thing in the city that we should make sure and see while we're here?
Well, I have a Vespa that I get around town on. And I think everyone in New York should have a Vespa because you can see it all.
I don't know if I want to see 8.5 million people driving around the city on Vespas.
Yeah.
All right. Well, Cynthia Rowley, thank you so much for joining us on our Welcome to New York Week on Marketplace.
Yeah, welcome. Thank you.
And you can see a photo slideshow of Cynthia Rowley's work on our website. It's marketplace.org. In New York, I'm Jeremy Hobson. This is the Marketplace Morning Report.
American Public Media.
Big chains from Toys R Us to Borders are leasing temporary spaces and opening pop-up stores.
It's really, I think, about capturing the consumer's first impulse to make a purchase.
I'm Bob Moon. Visit while it lasts next time on Marketplace from American Public Media.
The world can be a confusing place for kids, and finding the words to explain it all can be tricky, too. Introducing Million Bazillion, a Webby-winning podcast from Marketplace that takes your kids on exciting adventures to answer the awkward and complex questions they have about money. Each week, we tackle hard-hitting inquiries from kid listeners like,
what is a college account and how does it work?
I want to know what unions are and what they are for.
Why does the U.S. have so much gold in Fort Knox and what do they use it for?
Help your kids understand how money fits into the world around us. Listen to Million Bazillion wherever you get your podcasts.